Blog Talk Radio.
Stand by and listen to the word
that I have, and listen to some praise and worship music that I'm going to play. Okay? Here we go.
My world is breaking me. Your love. Right.
been given to seek his face. You see, in his book, A Hunger for God, John Piper writes, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you have drunk deeply or satisfied, it's because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. So your soul is stuffed with small things and there's no room for the great. So fasting is a powerful tool for placing anything that entangles us to the depravity and longings of the world in proper perspective. It builds for us a seat at the table of God where we can drink deeply of the wonders and satisfactions found in restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. So may the Lord reveal to you the places in your heart in which need to be realigned as we look at all God longs to do in us through the gift of fasting. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, and your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So fasting is a secret declaration to yourself and your Heavenly Father that you want more of what he has to give you. It's a private plea for an abundant life that can only be found in more of God and less of the world. And God responds to our pleas with his glory and grace, causing the cares of this world to pale in compassion, pale in comparison to the abundance of God's love. There's something powerful that takes place when we willingly surrender satisfaction in the world to make space for more of God. You see, God loves to respond to our hunger. In his patience, he waits for us to cry out to him and bring us into the fullness of what he has for us. But in pursuit of us, he constantly whispers from the spirit to ours, beckoning us to give up the rags of this world for the riches that come through life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. So whether you're fasting, food, entertainment, relationships, or anything else to make space for more for God, the intention of God for fasting is to fill you up to overflow. It is his intention to realign your life to position to constantly receive all he has for you. It is his intention to transform the pangs of separation for whatever you're fasting into deep prayers for more of his goodness. May you be honest with yourself and be filled with the desire to fast from which stands in the way of you fully living the abundant life. So first, meditate on God's desire for fasting. Allow truth to form your perspective on this age-old discipline. Okay, Ezra 8:23. So we fasted and implored our God for this, and he listened to our entreaty. What do you need to fast? What's holding you back from the fullness of God longs to give you? What could you give up to create more space for relationship with him? Be honest with yourself and God and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal places in your life that need the transformation that comes through fasting. So thirdly, commit to fasting whatever you feel would be beneficial for you. You don't have to start with too much. This isn't meant to be a religious exercise, but rather an action performed out of longing for more of God. Ask the Spirit to see you through this process. Ask him to strengthen you as you become weak. 19th century author Andrew Murray once said, prayer is reaching out after the unseen, fasting is letting go of all that is seen and temporal. Fasting helps express, deepen, confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. So may you discover the wealth and goodness that accompanies letting go of the weight of this world through fasting, and may you resolve to experience all that God has for your increase as the cares of the world slip away. I highly suggest reading Acts chapter 13. Okay, and it brings this devotional into play. Okay, more seen. Amen. Okay, now we're going to get into the altar call. Okay. I'm going to ask you. You know, if you don't, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that is okay, because you're going to get a chance to know him in a few moments. I mean, man, let me ask you, are you tired of wandering around not knowing where you're going? Okay, you're dazed and confused and not know which way is up or down anymore. Okay, you know, you may be suffering from depression or some type of anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from such an addiction as to drugs or alcohol, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever it is, it may be that's keeping you from the Lord, okay? Just put it on his plate, okay? And he will forgive you of everything. He will wipe your slate clean. But first you got to come to know him. Because, you see, if he doesn't know you, how can he help you? So you got to get to know him. So I ask you, are you willing to let the Lord Jesus Christ be your personal Lord and Savior tonight? If so, please say this simple little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So I want to say thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said that prayer, we want to welcome you into the family of God, okay? And we want to say, may the Lord bless you and may he always keep you highly favored. Well, we've got some callers, okay, one that's been with us since the beginning of the show, okay? I'm going to bring them on. They had pushed the one key, and then they had not pushed the one key because they were waiting until we were taking callers. So I'm going to take this caller first, 720. 720, you're on the air. Hello?
Hey, Pastor Ken. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
How you been, man? When did you change from HGM to the new format?
Well, I got tired of dealing with Pastor Kent, okay? So I just said, the heck with it. He can have it, okay? And I just went and started my whole new ministry about 3 months ago.
Nice, nice. How was your New Year and Christmas and Hanukkah?
Oh, it was great. It was great. How was yours, my brother?
Oh, it was okay. It was okay. I just figured I'd call in, say hi. I haven't talked to you in a while. Just see how you're doing, man.
Yeah, well, thanks. I appreciate it there, my brother. Okay, yeah, it's been a long time since I've talked to you, Polly. Okay, I hope you're doing well.
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I got to repent, though. I got to repent.
Okay.
I just sent a hooker to Clay Douglas's house.
Oh my God. No, you didn't. Okay.
I'm not going to say I did again, but
Andy appreciated that.
Oh, I'm sure Clay will love it.
Yeah. All
Her
right.
name happened to be Candy too.
Who?
Candy.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, listen, I got to put you on mute. Okay, buddy, I got to put you on mute and take another caller. All right. Good from hearing from you, my friend. Okay, we got another caller from 712. Hello, 712. Who do I have?
Tony Evans, no fat. He's 5'1" piece of fucking garbage. Okay? All right?
Okay, that was a fake Pastor Ken. Okay? Oh, well, I didn't mean to do that. I accidentally got rid of somebody. So we got another caller, but he hasn't pushed the one key. So we're going to play some more music. Okay, hold on. He just pushed the one key. So let me take him back here. Hello. Who do I have?
Hello, Kenny.
Hello, Pastor Kent. How are you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored, my son.
Well, that's good to hear.
I noticed you laughed when that young man said he sent a prostitute to another man's house. Do you condone that?
No, I don't condone it. I don't condone it, okay? I don't condone it, not whatsoever. Okay, but you have to know Paulie, okay? And Paulie likes to play jokes.
Well, Kenny, as long as you don't condone it, that makes you a good pastor, doesn't it?
Thank you.
Yes, Kenny, you are welcome. I know that my thoughts, ideas, and suggestions of you, of what I think of you, mean a lot. Right, Kenny?
Oh, yeah. Means a lot. Okay. Well, Pastor
Kenny,
what did you think of the devotional that I said? Did you get a chance to hear that while fasting?
Yes, I did, Kenny. I remember when I wrote that for you. I'm glad you saved it and got to read it again.
Well, thank you very much, because you didn't write it. I did. Thank you. Okay, okay, we got another caller, okay, from area code 331. Let's take, hello, how are you doing, 331?
Oh, girl, I wouldn't cry like a bitch, you fucking fag.
Okay, that's the fake Ken again. Okay, with a different number. Hello, 240. Hello, my brother. How are you doing tonight?
Shalom, Kenny. It's DC
Shalom,
2, brother.
Shalom, Don. How you doing?
Well, brother, I don't know how to say this, man, but it's been a rough week for me, brother. The situation.
I heard. I listened to the Tony Gaga show. Yeah.
It's been good.
Rough.
And, yes, it's been very hard. I've been leaning on the Lord a lot this week. I wanted to call in. I don't know how much time you have tonight on your show, but I could certainly use your and Tony F.'s counsel. I'm in a really, really bad spot here. My wife has obviously kicked me out for getting into an altercation with one of her family members.
Yeah,
and I'm just not in a very good place, Kenny. Doing a lot of drinking, very upset. I feel like my life's falling apart, and I needed some comfort, so I wanted to call in to the show and get your advice, because I have to be honest with you, Kenny. I'm very, very upset right now, very sad, and I just really need somebody to lean on, and I know that you're a person. A very godly man that has very good ideas, but is also grounded in the Lord's word. So, if you could
Don, you're not going to find comfort in a bottle. Okay, there's no comfort in a bottle. It just brings more sorrows. Okay,
it's probably you're right.
Yeah,
When you
drink, okay, everything floods back in, okay? It just keeps coming back in, and you don't progress and you don't move on, and try to figure out a way to get around it. Okay? So you have to put drinking aside. Okay? Okay? Because that's not going to help you. You know?
You're
not a drinking man. Okay? To begin with.
That's true, Kenny.
You know? Okay? So that's not going to do you no good. What will do you some good is if you're in a Motel 6 right now, I'm sure of it. Okay?
Do they have
the Gideon Bible still put in the rooms?
Hold on, let me check, Kenny. Can you give 1 second, brother? I will check. Let me look into the. Let me see. Hold on, because I'm just sitting on the bed right now. Hold on, let me open this up real quick. No, they don't. Somebody must have stole the Bible, Kenny. It's not in here, brother.
Well, that's what the Gideon's Bibles are for. I mean, for people to take them anyway.
That's a good point. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, all I can tell you is, if you get a chance, go to a Dollar General or something like that and buy a Bible. You can get one cheap for like $5. Okay?
I will do that first thing tomorrow, brother. Can I trouble you for a few more minutes?
You're my brother, Don.
Okay, I didn't know if Tony was upset with me or if he wanted me to get off the line, but I'm having a really hard time. So at this point, I'm having a very difficult time communicating with my wife. Obviously, the other night I was very upset and said some things on the show that I did not mean because I was so upset about the situation. And she heard that, obviously, and so I'm in a situation now where it's very difficult for me to speak to her. And the only way that I feel like I can save our marriage is to sit down and have a conversation with her. But right now, she's not willing to do that. She won't even let me into my house to get my clothes, man. So I'm out here, like, you know, just stinking, and I don't have on what I've had on all week.
I got you. Well, you know what you need to do, Don, is okay. I know you've heard this. Okay, that time heals all wounds. Okay.
Oh yes.
All right.
Oh, yes.
You know, and you did say some pretty rough stuff to her on the show. Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes.
And,
it's very true.
And we all sometimes say things we don't mean in the heat of the moment, okay? And she knows that. She's just mad.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, man to man, though? You know, just be honest with me. If you were in a relationship, a marriage with a woman, right, and you had somebody basically break into your house, a pimp, you know, I mean, that's what he is.
Yeah.
And you come home from a late church service, and this man is just parlaying up in your bedroom with hookers and all kinds of nonsense going on. I mean, what kind of reaction would you have?
I would have the same reaction. I would probably have the same reaction you did. Okay?
Listen, I know I was wrong for what I said, and I was probably wrong for the way that I reacted, you know, in a physical manner with her cousin. And I will admit to that, and I'm sorry for that. But she's got to take some responsibility as well for this happening, because had it not been for her previously allowing this man to come in our house when I was not there as the man of the house, this would not have happened a second. This is the second time this has happened. So,
yeah. You called the police the first time.
Well, we tried to handle it amicably the first time, sir.
Okay, well, there ain't no amicably to it. If I come home and there's a pimp laid up in my house parlaying with hookers in my bed, I'm calling the police. Unless I have something to hide.
Well, listen, I don't have anything to hide. It was just I love my wife, and I wasn't trying to get get caught up in any of that. You know what I mean?
Well,
you don't
want
to call the cops and...
That's what you should have done.
What?
Yeah, that's a good thing, too. You know, you could have called the cops, okay, and got him for trespassing.
Amen.
You know, he was trespassing in your house. Okay?
Violence is not always the answer.
You know?
But listen,
same reaction you had, being upset that he was in your room, your bedroom, parlaying up in your house. Guys,
the first time, though, my wife had a key made for him, so it wasn't trespassing. That was the whole issue with the first situation. That's why we got in the first fight.
It was. You took the key back, right?
Yeah, I took the key back, but then when I came back the second time and he was back in my house, I didn't know how he got in there, so of course I lost my mind.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, and that's when the cops got involved and whatnot.
You took matters in your own hand, okay?
I mean, it was...
When you should have let the cops take care of it. But, you know, I understand that. I mean, being a man, and, you know, you come home and... You just come home from religious service, you don't want that kind of tomfoolery going on. Okay, in your
very
house.
Upsetting, Kenny.
I've
got to do a lot of soul searching and make some decisions about what I want to do with my life, because I'll tell you right now, the way things are going, I'm not sure that I want to go back to this woman, so I'm looking into divorce lawyers and stuff, because I can't have that type of stuff going on in my life. It's just too much stress to deal with at this age.
How long have you been married to this woman? Wait a minute. How long have you been married to this woman?
We've been together for 17 years, and then a couple years before that. So 20 years total.
Okay. And you willing to throw away 20 years?
If she don't start communicating, I think so, yeah, because... She seems to be choosing this pimp guy, even though I never heard of him until the last 3 years. I didn't even know who this guy was. Apparently he's a cousin or whatever. But that's neither here nor there.
Sometimes you have to know when it's time to move on.
Yeah, that's
and
what
maybe,
I'm see Tony, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What I'm saying. I think
on
it's that time, brother.
Yeah, maybe this is God's way of telling you something. I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, I know God tests us, okay, sometimes, okay. So you know, maybe this is your test.
Yeah, well, that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it as a test of the Lord and also my faith. But for me, it just comes down to I'm going to just try to live my life right now and let her do, you know, have her space. And then whenever she comes to whatever decision she wants to make, then that's on her and I'll deal with whatever. But I just wanted to call in, man. I've been having a real rough week and definitely self-medicating through things that I normally would not do. And it just sucks. You go from living in your house and sleeping in your bed. Next thing you know, you're staying at a real ratty Motel 6. It's not even a nice Motel 6. And I'm stuck here. And she's talking all this nonsense about taking all my, taking the cars, the house, all this stuff. It's just crazy, man. I know I'm not my normal high energy self. I'm just really, really upset. I was hoping my Spencer would call in or something to.
Maybe she's ranting, okay? Let her, give her some time, some space, okay? And you know, if she loves you, okay, she'll want to talk to you, okay? You know what they say?
Amen.
If you love someone, set them free. If they come back to you, it's meant to be, okay? Okay, so, you know, do that. Set her free. Okay? Okay?
Amen.
To make her choice. Okay? And if she really loves you, okay, and she knows probably where you're at, okay?
Yeah, she
okay,
she
she'll
knows,
seek
brother.
You out. You know?
Yeah, it's just you know, man, you live with somebody for so long and you're in love with them and you do everything with them or do everything for them. It's hard to let all that go. But at the same time, like Tony said, you know, sometimes you just got to walk away. So, well, I don't know where I'm at with all that. I'm still kind of taking it day by day. But I really do appreciate both of you taking the time to take my call and hear my story. I know it's not the typical story you hear, you know, on a godly show. I mean, pimps and hookers and all that. I didn't want to bring that on the show per se, but that's part of the story. So I thought it was best just to be completely honest. But
right.
I feel much better about my situation now that I've talked to you guys. I feel like I kind of have more of a direction to go. So, Kenny, man, I really appreciate you, brother. I appreciate all the times that you've helped me through situations. It's just another time that you've done that. And, you know, Tony's honestly been much nicer to me than I could have ever imagined, and he's given good advice, too. So I thank both you guys, man. The show's really – it's really helping people. So keep up
the
good work.
Thank you. And you know we'll keep you in our prayers. You know that, right?
Oh, bless you, Kenny. I really appreciate that, brother. I really do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we'll definitely keep you in our prayers, okay, that something has got to come right for you out of this situation.
Okay, wait. Spencer said he wants to call in. I don't know if he's going to call in. Is there anybody in the queue?
Tell him to call in. I'll be waiting for his call.
Oh, well, he wants me to stay on the line, though. I don't know why.
Yeah, well,
but I can stay on mute if you want me to, and bring me back on when he comes on.
Okay, yeah, I've got some more people I've got to bring on. Okay, they've been waiting. So let me put you on mute, and I'll go to the next caller.
All right, bless you, Kenny. Thank you.
Bless you too, my brother. Okay.
Amen.
Okay, we'll see. We've got 717. 717, hello. How you doing tonight?
Tony, I've been so sad. You some fucking garbage.
Okay. All righty. Well, the next caller is Pastor Wanda. Hello, Pastor Wanda. How you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored, rejoicing in the Lord, Nehemiah 18, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And how everybody doing today? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
so that's how everybody was doing today.
Okay. Amen. All right. Well, I'm glad you called in. I was waiting for you to call in at the beginning.
I'm going through some things, but Jesus is in control. I had some things go on that is not of God coming at me, so I had to call on the master. I'm not calling the pastor, and I know I'm a pastor as well, but some things that's not lining up, it's in the spirit realm, just like what he's talking about, then came at me as today. But it's all as well. But I'm just going to pray for that person, ask God to have mercy, and I'm going to keep on blessing, because if I bless God, I got to bless even my enemies, and even when people come against me. So that's what I'm doing today, Pastor. So that's what I had to take care of. And folks calling, threatening me, like, you know, God told me a long time ago, I will protect you guys, lead and deliver in your distress, trouble. And he reminded me, because yesterday, as he gave me divine protection. And just like Psalm 91, he grew about from the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91. But it's amazing, and they say they know God, but they're acting like the world. So some things just going on, and I'm thanking God in the midst of the storm, because it just all good peace, like Jesus said, peace be still. Okay?
Yeah.
He calmed the storm, because this is small for my God. Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, listen, Pastor Wanda, I've got to take another call. He's been waiting for a
Amen.
While
Go
to get on. Let me bring on his brother. Okay.
All right, go
Hello,
ahead,
Johnny. How you doing?
Hello, Ken. This is Johnny. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly. How's things been for you this week so far?
Well, it's been pretty rainy. Now it's pretty windy. And by the morning, it'll be 17 degrees.
Woo!
So, and I just caught the tail end of what Don was talking about. Sounds like he's really going through a trial here.
Yeah.
Sounds like dear Pastor Wanda has been through a trial as well.
Amen.
She's
been we all go through trials. Okay, you just, you know, we just how you go the trial, okay, and how you handle it.
But I count it all joy, like in James 1, and see, I know who to call upon. And if you don't have a trial test, you don't have a testimony. So I know God is a faithful God, and He's a just God. So if He brought me out of it one time, He'll do it again and again. But I'm gonna call upon Him, cause see, I can't call everybody else. See, everybody busy, phone off or something like that. But when I call on Jesus, He hears me. Okay, and I ask Him to strengthen me, so I know to sit in the presence of God. Talk to Him about the situation, not call all these people, and then forget about God, go to God first, and then I can go talk to my brothers and sisters and have them to pray for me.
Sometimes I call for help. I call like a toll-free number and ask for help, and there's somebody on there, and I can't understand them. They barely know English, so I have to hang up.
Oh, well, you know, all you do is call upon the Lord. I mean, Just ask Jesus to help you, in your times of troubles and needs, okay? I mean,
if I can't connect to the internet, I don't think prayer is going to help me. Sometimes you got to call someone.
Well, okay, yeah, I guess
that's different kind of help, though, Ken.
Yeah,
but you can ask Jesus to help you stay calm.
Yeah, okay. Johnny, I got another caller. Let me put you on mute.
Okay.
Let me take this other caller. Hopefully it's not. I think it's Spencer. Okay. Spencer, is this you, my brother?
Hello, Kenneth. How have you been, brother?
I've been blessed and highly favored, but I've been dealing with COPD. Okay, it's been I'll bring Don on, okay, because you wanted Don on the line called. Don, we got Spencer here. Okay,
can you mute Wanda so I can't hear all that racket? I'm trying to talk about something serious.
Okay. All right. Okay. So. What is going on, my brother Spencer? I mean, we haven't talked in a long while, and I know you have some things going on, okay? So can you tell me what's going on?
Can you hear me okay? I just want to make sure. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Now, I want to kind of relate this to Don, because I know he's going through a hard time as well. I have been having some family issues, and Don is aware of it, I've never told Don, you know, the facts of what really is going on. And basically, Ken, you knew that I took care of my grandfather, right?
Right.
Before he passed.
Right.
And he basically wanted to take care of my grandmother. Well, and it's hard for me to say, but she has dementia.
Uh-huh.
And I basically took it upon myself to be there for her, like basically almost 24/7. You know,
I
have to do it. You know, I'm a family man. I love my family, and I want to take care of my family, and I want to be there for them.
Right.
So what I tell myself, even though, you know, sometimes he'll go off on me like, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Who are you? You know, some randomly she'll say, well, she doesn't even know me. I'm just like, hey, I mean, you know, I'll show a picture of her, you know, deceased husband. This is, you know, This is him. And here's a picture of me. I'm your grandson. It's really, really hard.
Right.
It's kind of, and I hate to say it, but aggravating. And I hate to say that.
Yeah, I mean, dementia is I mean, they go in and out, okay? They go in and out in dementia, okay?
Yeah.
They have their good times and they have their bad times, okay?
That's right. And
okay,
that's
when the sun goes down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
That's why they call it sundowner syndrome, okay?
And there's
down,
times that
they go goofy. Okay.
Oh,
but, yeah. But you know who she is. Okay.
Mhm.
Okay. You know she's your grandmother. You knew that she had dementia. Okay. When you got involved. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So it, this is a trial for you. Okay.
That's right.
Okay,
now,
it's a trial for you and how you deal with it. Okay,
there are times that she says, "What, you know, where am I?" I'm like, "Well, Grandma, I mean, you're at home." You know, but she just doesn't know.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like a brain wipe. You know, her memories are gone and all this, and I just want to let Dawn know what I tell myself. Pray on it. Because I even told my grandmother that I know that she's, you know, going through this. Even if I tell her she has dementia, it's, you know, it doesn't really click.
Right.
You know what I mean? For one thing, nobody ever wants to hear that.
Right.
And second of all, you know, I just told her straight up, and that's the way I tell myself, please pray on it, because prayers go a very long way.
Yes, they
and
do.
If you don't pray, Don, please pray on your situation. And
oh,
I feel
pray
like
on
you
it,
do,
brother. I stay prayed up, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Because prayers, like I said, prayers go a very, very long way.
Yes, they do.
And
absolutely.
By the way, a little off topic, I want to say, Ken, I tried to come back the other day, but for some reason I wasn't able to type or do anything, so I just
done that a couple times.
Hey, Ken? Kenny?
Yeah.
A buddy of mine's on the line. I think he called from a 111, but I can vouch for him. It's Bo. Can you take his call?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
sure. I miss
Bobo.
Okay, I'll take his call. Hello, 111. Is this Bo?
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, what's up, Bo?
Hey, Bo.
Hey. Well, Bo. I'm doing okay. I'm just still really upset about what you did to Cardinal.
I didn't do anything to Cardinal.
What you said to him in the chat room, Ken?
I didn't say anything to Cardinal Khan in the chat room.
No. And don't hang up on me, because this is, okay? Am I still on?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. All right. Well, tell me if this was you or not, okay? Pull this up, okay? All right, you said, what's the difference between Cardinal and acne?
That wasn't me. That's the fake Ken.
Okay, now move on.
Okay?
And you said that at least acne waits till you're 12 to come on his face. That was.
No. Okay. Well, you know what? You know, you guys have been listening to a fake Ken on the chat. Okay?
Kenny, I'm talking to you right now, though. Like, what are you talking about?
There's a fake Ken on the Discord chat.
Yeah, but I know who the real Ken is. You're the real Ken. I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I know. Okay? Okay? But what I'm trying to say is we've got to get rid of that person.
This is not a Discord
chat. Yeah, and this is not a Discord chat.
This is a show.
Okay, this is a show. But we got to get rid of that person because he's causing a lot of confusion.
Okay, well, let's get back to the show. And, like, you know, that's why I called, man. I think, you know, Bo's just upset that Cardinal's gone and he's trying to find reasons, you know. We're all trying to figure out why he's gone. You know, that's another thing that's been going on behind the scenes. Cardinal, no one's heard from him in 3 weeks. So everyone's upset about that. And I got this stuff going on with, you know, my wife and, you know, and then Spencer has stuff going on that nobody even knows about. So it's just been a hard week for everybody. No one's trying to sabotage your show or turn it into something else. We're just trying to be honest with you, Ken.
I understand that. Okay. And, you know, but I just can't have this. I can't have tomfoolery that goes on in the chat on my show. Okay. Because I go to the chat. Okay. But I would think people would know the real Ken versus the fake Ken in the chat. Right?
They do know, and this is where we're dropping the subject. They do know. They like messing with you, and that's what they do.
What? I don't know because I'm not
back on track
to
the show tonight.
Yes.
This is not a Discord chat show.
No, it's not. You're 100% correct.
So we need to get back on track right now.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, guys.
Well, Ken, I kind of feel like I'm glad I'm not even in there anymore with all the shenanigans going on. So there's a fake Ken? I'm not in there. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah,
I know.
I
do miss all my buddies, you know.
Well, I do miss you in there too. But listen, I've got to go on to my next message. So sit back and listen to it. Okay. And we'll go from there. Okay? Let me put you on mute.
Great.
Okay. All right. My next message, okay, is a Bible reading. And okay, and we're talking about Joseph reveals his identity from Genesis chapter 43. And then we're going to go jump into Psalms verses chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. And then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 to 32. So the men took the present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand, and rose and went down to Egypt. And they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of the house, "Take these men to my home, slaughter an animal, and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon." Then the men did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, "It's because of the money which has returned in our sacks, the first time that we are brought in, so that we make a case against us and seize us to take us as slaves with our donkeys." When they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him, and the door of the house and said, "Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened we came to the encampment when we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of the sack. Our money was full weight, so we brought it back in our hand, and we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks." But he said, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then he brought Simon out to them. So the men brought the men to Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet and gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him on to the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, your father, is in good health. He's still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" Excuse me. And he said, "God be gracious to you and my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him in place by himself and themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men looked astonished at one another. Then he took servings to them before them, but Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. And Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him and cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed by his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there is still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and ruler throughout all land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all you have, there I will provide for you, at least you and your household, and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you, so that you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell on his brother's Benjamin neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, 'Joseph's brothers have come.' So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart, go to the land of Canaan, bring your father and your household, and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now that you are commanded to do this, take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, bring your father and come. Also do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours.' And the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts, according to the command of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the journey. He gave them, all of them, to each man changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments, and sent to his father these things: 10 donkeys loaded with good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and they said to him, 'See that you do not become troubled along the way.' Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father, and they told him, saying, 'Joseph is still alive, and he is governor of all the land of Egypt.' And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, 'It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.'" Now let's go to Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 8. "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord, you shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side, while vileness is exalted among the sons of men." Now let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 and 32. "Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is the abomination to the Lord, but the secret counsel is with the upright." That is the daily this is the daily Bible reading that if you don't get a chance to read your Bible, at least you can have somebody read it to you. Okay, and I'm going to continue on in Genesis tomorrow. Okay? Amen. All right. Well, let's bring back on Spencer and Don and Johnny. Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Johnny.
Okay.
What did you think of the Bible reading?
Hey
guys.
I thought it was great. This is Spencer, by the way. I thought
right.
it was great. It's, you know, sometimes people need to hear these things, and you know, as always, you do a great job. Most of the time, you know, that I don't call in as much as I used to, but I'm always listening though, Ken.
Amen.
And just as always, you do a great job every night.
Thank you. I haven't been on the past two nights because I was sick, but, you know,
yeah, I hope
I figured,
you feel better, man.
I'm feeling better. I'm still kind of winded,
oh,
but not as bad as yesterday.
I'm glad you're feeling better. You know, I pray for you every day, every night. I keep
thank
you in my
you.
Prayers.
I pray for you, too.
Ken, all can right. I ask you something, you know, as a, you know, a Christian man,
yeah,
your honest opinion on abortion.
Oh,
because apparently that's kind of big in the news now, and they want to legalize
yeah, it's a very
third
hot topic.
Trimester abortions.
Yeah, it's a very hot topic. Myself, I don't agree with abortion. Okay, because
okay, same here.
Because God, you know, gives life, okay? Okay,
mm-hmm.
and God doesn't make mistakes on that life, okay? Now, I can see sometimes, if it's a medical reason and the baby is going to die within, you know, 24 hours, you know, well, maybe
mm-hmm.
spare that. You know, but, you know, other than that,
Kenny,
okay,
Kenny,
I'm against abortion.
Yeah. Kenny, it's Doc. Can you, I agree with you, brother. I totally agree. I'm against it myself. I don't think it's in the, Lord's way or his will for that type of chicanery to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
So, Tony, what is your thoughts on abortion? No, seriously.
The opposite of y'all's.
Really? You don't. You
yeah,
agree
with it's a woman's choice. It's a woman's body.
Yeah,
now
no,
I don't.
So the baby. The baby is not.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I do not believe in late trimester abortion. This I do not believe in. I think this is very wrong. But early trimester, I have. It's a woman's choice. We have lots of unwanted children, lots of abused children, and y'all are all men, so it's easy for y'all to say. It's still a woman's
aren't
choice.
Aren't you a man?
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's a woman's choice.
No, it's not. It's God's choice. You can't play God by murdering.
Well, you can't play God by doing a lot of things we do in the name of God.
Right.
Look at our president.
Well,
but that's not what kind of show we're on, and we're not here really to discuss such subjects. So,
yeah. We've got another caller. Let me bring him on and see what he has to say.
Okay.
You're almost a show.
Hello. Who do I have?
Hello, Kenny.
Pastor Kent?
Yeah, Pastor
hey.
Kent.
Yes.
Hey,
my
Kent.
Son. Hello, my sons.
Hello, Kent.
I have to be honest with you guys. I was against abortion, but now that I met Kenny, I wish he was aborted.
Goodbye, Kent.
Don't say goodbye. Just cut okay. Him
off. Well, you know. That's what I'm talking about there. Tomfoolery. Okay, there's no reason, there's no need for that. Okay? So,
don't take it out on the rest of us that he's an idiot.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not. We're getting close down to the end of the show, and I wanted to sit there and say thank you everybody for calling in, and I hope God blesses you, Don and Spencer. Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Trial.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
You.
Okay, and okay.
Thank you, brother.
I hope that goes well to you all. Okay, and I will pray on this. And,
thank you, Kenny.
Amen.
Kenny, I appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you, Kenny.
And I keep being my prayers myself.
Well, thank
amen.
You.
Because I
amen.
Love you, man, and I'm. I want to say thank you for having another show. And, Don, I'm sorry that you're going through a hard time because, you know, like I said, Ken, usually I listen to the show, but I knew that, you know, Don's going through a hard time, so I just wanted to chat with him for a little while. And I appreciate you having me on the show, Ken.
Hey, amen. It's been
amen.
A pleasure to have both of you on my show. And you know you guys call anytime you want to, okay? Okay.
Thank you, Kenny. You're the best, brother.
Well, thank
amen.
You.
And
I might
do that. I might start calling in a little more, if you don't mind,
oh, do
Ken.
That. Yeah. Really?
Okay.
You have
amen.
To.
Well, that means a
okay.
lot to me.
Okay. Well, like I said, we're getting down. We got 1 minute left. Again, I want to remind everybody that tomorrow night we have the Pastor's Corner, and hopefully we can get more pastors involved. So we can talk about things that go on during the week and things like that, and and answer prayer requests and do things like that. That's what I want the Pastor's Corner to be. But if not, I'm going to go
that,
with what
Kenny,
I've been doing. With a
Ken,
devotional, a Bible reading, and a prophetic
Ken,
message. Yes.
Ken, speaking of other pastors calling in, do you remember? And do you know what happened to the guy, the pastor, Don T. Brush? Like, where, do you remember him?
Yeah, I remember him. I haven't heard
from
him.
He just, like, kind of just, I don't know, disappeared.
I know.
But he was,
I don't know what happened, though.
Yeah, he, I know he was going through a rough time, but I haven't heard from him in, I don't know, months. Months and months.
Yeah, me too. I haven't heard from him at least 6-7 months. Okay.
Well, I might say a prayer for him tonight, hoping he's doing
amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to have Tony have given a closing prayer, okay, and a statement, I guess. Or is it just a closing
yes,
prayer?
We'll make it quick.
Okay.
You know, callers and listeners, as we leave you tonight, we hope that you take with you some peace, knowing that you're loved. And to some of you that called in tonight, all I can tell you is that God never gives you more than you can handle. And let that be a little bit, bring you a little bit of peace. Because through his name, all will be well. And we'll see you again tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, God's Rainbow Ministries. Till then, spread the word.
Amen. Okay, God bless
amen.
Everybody. Have a great
day. I love you, Kenny. Hey, Kenny. Kenny.
I love you,
too. I love you, brother. Thank you.
I love you, brothers. And,
hey, Ken, I just want to say I love you.
Well, thank you,
you
for the best
night,
message. Love you, too. Okay, love you, too, Brother Don. Okay, things are going to get better. I can see that. I know that. Okay, things
I hope
are going to
so.
Get better. Amen.
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 Okay, so good night, everybody. God bless. Until tomorrow night, okay? Have a good one.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.